You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. Now, our news director Jemima Houston spoke to the National Party's Dr. Shane Retty last week about their health package. The policy covers a wide range of health issues, but the party has particularly highlighted that there will be increasing funding to PharmEC, meaning better access to medicine, institute and elective surgery commitment, provide quicker cancer diagnosis and management, and add to the general practice primary care team. The party has also rejected aspects of the New Zealand Health and Disability Sector Review, which was led by civil servant Heather Simpson and released midway through this year. Jemima spoke to Shane about the health policy and why some of the Simpson review has been rejected. She also asked about the party's mental health and disability process, which are expected to be announced this week. Here's Dr. Retty.
I know the healthcare policy announced yesterday covers a number of aspects of the New Zealand health system, but could you please briefly explain the National Party healthcare policy package?
Sure, and you're quite right. There's actually 25 programs, and within each of those programs there's probably four or five policies, so maybe 150 policies. But the four big ones, the four ones we want to highlight and the four ones that will have huge impact on New Zealanders are, first of all, more surgery. Secondly, more people accessing more medicines. Thirdly, quicker cancer diagnosis and management. And fourthly, the GP social worker, adding to the general practice primary care team. Those are the four big things we want to take out onto the campaign trail and say they make a difference to New Zealanders.
And why are these four things the headliners, I suppose, of the policy?
Or can I just add that we're announcing mental health. I haven't mentioned that. We'll announce that next week. And disability is another set of announcements. So they're important too. Look, these four particularly are our highlights because that's what New Zealanders have told us matter to them the most. They've said to us, we're not getting the surgery that we need. We don't have access to the medicines that we need, particularly when compared to other countries. Our cancer diagnosis time is slow. We were promised a radiotherapy machine and it hasn't materialised. And we're waiting to see the GP. We understand they're busy. They're doing their best. But we've got increasing needs and the GPs are just becoming overwhelmed. What can we do to help them do better so that people have better services? That's how these come to be, our four highlights.
I mean, as you've said, as I said before, this is a large policy package that covers a huge number of issues. Why does the National Party believe that the strong focus on healthcare policy is important now?
Oh, well, particularly while we're in a coronavirus environment, we've just done several things to health. First of all the health issues before coronavirus have continued on. People are still getting breast cancer, they're getting prostate cancer, their diabetes is still there. So we've got all of the previous health problems, and then we've added this major disruptor, coronavirus, on top that fundamentally makes all of them worse. So just here and now, health is very much foremost in people's minds, right alongside the economy. I would suggest those are the two things that New Zealanders are really worried about at the moment, something on that spectrum between health and coronavirus, and what does it mean for the health needs that I have, all the way to what does it mean for my job.
Now, I know this has been brought up before, but obviously the Heather Simpson report review on the health system in New Zealand, I understand that the National Party has rejected recommendations to reduce the number of DHBs and establish a Māori health authority. Why is this?
There are several parts of the Heather Simpson report that I like and that we will take on board. One of the things they suggested was how we fund hospitals. There's a formula, and within that formula is something called an adjuster that weights for ethnicity and weights for deprivation, and the Simpson report said we should weight them higher. I think that's correct. I think it's a good idea, and I plan to take that on board. I think they also did a wonderful job, actually, weaving inequalities through the report, and so any health legislation in our hands will have an inequality lens. But to come back to the two points you're talking about, we won't be reducing bricks and mortar DHBs. How would we be able to be sensitive to the needs of each environment, of each particular community, if we take away the DHB, particularly when the DHB may be almost the biggest employer, the biggest organisation in that area? And what I'd say, and I think what's really important here, because it's been said, yes, that's the direction of travel we're going to go down, that the Labor government will reduce the number of DHBs to between 8 to 12. They really do need to tell New Zealanders which DHBs are going. Is it the smaller ones? Is it the wire wrappers? Is it the Tairawhitis on the East Coast? You really need to say New Zealanders. In our hands, in this next term, these DHBs will go. In our hands, I'll be keeping all 20 DHBs, but I am agreeable, and I do think there are merits in some collaboration around policy aspects. For example, regional asset management planning and strategy. And some of this is being done, for example, in the Northland region. Counties Manukau, Waitemata, Auckland and Northland put their strategic planning heads together and decide, where's the best service for this particular need? But the bricks and mortar servicing those particular communities stay where they are. So that's where we'd have a clear point of difference with the Simpson report. I think the second point around the Māori Health Authority is that I don't want another bureaucracy here in Wellington pontificating on what's good for Māori. We need to take that whole level of decision-making much closer to the community. And the closest point that I want to get to is right at a DHB level with a strategic plan, an annual strategic plan, that every year outlines what the objectives for the following year will be and looks backwards and says, did you meet last year's objectives? And so I want that decision-making not in a bureaucracy in Wellington. I want it much closer to the community.
Talking about sort of having Māori policy and health being put into the DHBs, do you think that's enough? Do you think that potentially that might also mean it is a number of non-Māori people making decision for Māori, or will National work to ensure that there are Māori within the DHBs that are working on those targets for Māori communities?
Oh, there will definitely be Māori voices working within the Māori directorates in each DHB and working to develop the annual strategic plans for Māori. We need the people with the best skills for the best job, but also Māori voices are able to reach out to the community both to listen and to plan and then to deliver. So my expectation and my observation, because I've worked in this environment, is that a large number of very clever and strategic thinking Māori then become absorbed into these directorates to help plan out Māori health services.
Now, I know you mentioned right at the beginning that the National Party will be making an announcement on its mental health and disability policies next week. Are there any, can you give us any clues about what that might look like? Sorry, it's a bit cheeky, but...
I can't actually preempt that, but we understand several imperatives. We understand that we need a better mental health system. We understand that there are those parts of communities that are particularly suffering at the moment, for example, rural communities. And we're actually before coronavirus. So while coronavirus is the elephant in the room, let's remember there were cohorts struggling with mental health long before coronavirus came along. And so we want to make sure we apply ourselves to that as well. Coronavirus has become a multiplier for some of those cohorts. Rural, business now are going to have an enhanced level of mental health because of coronavirus. And I think a very good report was the Druckmann-Poulton report looking at the mental health consequences of coronavirus. And I like their endpoint when they said, look, our goal to make our way through this is to develop social cohesion. And so I think you'll see our mental health policies work towards that objective.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.